Welcome to the Northwood Project. All right, I think I got this all set up, and...
Jesse, are you there? Let me in, man.
I'm coming.
Hey, sorry, I know it's early, but we've got to get through some more of these cases.
Well, look who's all invested now. I thought this was all some demented fan fiction.
Just shut up and let me in.
Don't worry, I already hit record, we're good to go. Here, sit down.
Alright, look here. This one's about Ava. She was in a grade above us, remember?
Yeah, I do. Her family was so upset when she went missing. There are still posters up on some of the telephone poles by the school.
Well, go ahead, read it.
Okay, here we go. File 042402. Patient Ava Green speaking on her experience with Anomaly 410. Every Saturday, my mom takes me to the farmer's market. I hate the farmer's market. She knows this, but she always tells me that maybe this time I'll find something I like. I think she just wants to spend time with me, so I don't blame her. I have never found something at the farmer's market. My mom always finds lots of things, fresh fruits, vegetables, candles, soap, and other things you could probably find for cheaper on Etsy. Saturday arrived, and despite my desperate pleas, my mom packed me in the car. We were off to the market. All I could hope for was that my mother wouldn't run into anyone she knew, because that could extend our stay by at least another 30 minutes. We found parking and headed towards the street that they block off every Saturday for all the booths and food trucks. I was my mother's shadow as she browsed all the stalls and aisles of produce. My eyes wandered aimlessly at tomatoes and cucumbers. I smiled if I accidentally made eye contact with the vendors. My mom would get upset if I tried to look at my phone. She would say I wasn't being present with her. What she didn't know, or knew and didn't care, is I truly wished I wasn't present. I heard my mom excitedly shout a name as she recognized someone browsing through soaps. Now, I was really in trouble. If I didn't find something moderately interesting, I was convinced I would wither away from boredom. That's when I saw a booth I don't think I'd ever seen before. Or maybe I had just never given it a thought. The sign said Smith's Carvings. Behind the table was an older man with long silver hair pulled into a ponytail and a salt-and-pepper beard. He was wearing a tie-dye shirt and overalls. His overalls were covered in pins for rock bands I didn't recognize. This man had clearly peaked in the 70s and never looked back. The table in front of him was littered with small wooden animals and spoons, cutting boards, spatulas, cups, bowls, and just about anything else you can make out of wood. They were all kinds of different colors and patterns. In a very out-of-character thought, I found it cute. The idea of this man in his woodshop making these items day in and day out was nice. As I approached the table, I was hit with the smell of exotic woods, stains, and oils. It was strong, but comforting. The man smiled and asked if anything caught my eye. Oh, I don't know, I'm just browsing, I lied. For something had caught my eye. On the corner of the table, there was an index card. And in big letters, it read, Music Boxes. Above the card, there were six small, intricately carved wooden boxes with brass latches. Can I open one? I asked. Of course, help yourself. I looked over the boxes carefully. I didn't want to bother anyone with the music, so surely I could only open one. I picked up a dark wooden box with a checkered pattern on the lid. It felt heavy in my hands. I flicked the small brass latch over and opened the box. Inside was a small wooden ballerina that began to spin. She wasn't painted or anything, just a light-colored wood. For being made out of something so rigid, she seemed so soft. She began to move, the shape of a tutu and outstretched arms spinning in a slow circle. A song began to play. It was soft and bright. It sounded like the striking of little tiny bells. I couldn't tell you the song name, but I knew I had heard it before. Something classic. If I had to guess, it was Sugar Plum Fairy or maybe something by Mozart. There was something about the box I couldn't explain. I really liked it. I looked at the man to ask him the price and found him watching me with a smile. "It's yours," he said simply. I should have insisted on paying. I could have found my mom and given him some money. Before I thought of any of that, I just said thank you and shuffled off with my head down. I found my mom again, and from the sound of it, her conversation was wrapping up. She turned to me and asked what I had found. I held the box up to her. "A jewelry box?" she asked. "No, a music box, see?" I opened the box and the song played again. "Cute," she said bluntly. She turned to look at the next booth. I followed my mom through the rest of the market, feeling the weight of the box in my pocket. After a few more laps around the booths, we headed back to the car. I held the box in my palm all the way home. I liked the feeling of the smooth wood and rounded corners. When we finally got back home, I headed up to my room. I placed the music box on top of my dresser. It seemed like a good spot. I turned and sat down at my desk to finish up some homework. I must have been working for an hour or so when I heard the music start to play behind me. I looked at my dresser, and the box sat on the top, opened, the small wooden ballerina spinning in circles. I walked over to the box and with one finger closed the lid. It made a small clack, and I pressed the brass latch close. I stood there for a moment, curious. My first thought was that it was my little brother. My door was closed, and I'm sure I would have heard him come in here. He isn't that stealthy. I opened my door and looked in the hallway. Empty. I walked over to my brother's door and knocked. There was no response. This isn't unusual. He always had his headphones on. I opened the door and peeked in. He was sat at his computer, hunched forward, with intense focus. He was playing some shooter game. I watched him shoot someone and do a dance on their body. He had not been in my room. I walked back to my room, and as I opened my door, my eyes checked back to the top of the dresser. The box sat there, closed and latched. I shook my head and dismissed the last few minutes. I sat back down at my desk and stared at a half-completed essay. My best efforts to ignore the strange incident with the music box failed as I kept looking over my shoulder to check on it. It remained unmoved. I couldn't focus regardless. I heard my mom call us for dinner. I went to my brother's room since I knew he wouldn't have heard. He was still playing his game. I tapped his shoulder and he followed me downstairs to eat. After dinner, I got ready to take a shower and relax. I was wiping my makeup off while the shower was warming up. The bathroom began to fill with steam. I stepped in and felt relief as the hot water washed over me. I started to shampoo my hair. This was a process, as my hair has always been thick and curly. My eyes were shut tight as soap bubbles ran down my hair, face, and shoulders. Then I heard the music once again. A few heartbeats passed. I realized what was happening. I lifted my face to the water, trying to clear the soap so I could open my eyes. As water ran over my face, I heard a loud wooden scraping sound against the bathroom tile, like moving large furniture. I ripped the shower curtain to one side. On the counter, next to the sink, sat the small wooden box, open, the wooden ballerina doing her routine. I stepped out of the shower and I slammed the music box closed. I opened the bathroom door and tossed it into the hallway. I wanted this thing away from me. I rushed to get the rest of the shampoo out of my hair. I threw my pajamas on and opened the door again. The box sat on the hallway carpet right where it had landed. My breath was panicked. I hated this thing. I grabbed the box and headed downstairs. I slipped on some shoes and headed out the front door. I walked to the street where our garbage can sat off the edge of the sidewalk. I opened the lid and threw the box inside. As I walked back to the house, I remembered how the man offered the box for free. Did he know what this thing did? Did all of them act like this? I didn't want to think about the wood carver handing out cursed objects. I wanted to go to bed, and so I did exactly that. I wish I could say that I slept soundly. I was startled awake, late into the night or early in the morning, I don't know which. The music was playing. My eyes started to well with tears. I was paralyzed sitting up in the bed. It was pitch black, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. That's when I heard that loud, scraping sound again. It moved across my room in the darkness. I found the courage to lean over and flick on my lamp. I screamed. At the side of my bed stood a large wooden ballerina. She was 6 or 7 feet tall, made of smooth, hard wood, and articulated simply at the joints. She was standing on her toes, and as she pivoted towards me, her wooden shoes scraped against the floor so loudly. The last thing I remember was her large wooden arms reaching for me. I covered my face as something hit the side of my head, hard. I lost consciousness. I woke up in the hospital, and my mom and the doctors said I must have fallen while sleepwalking. I don't sleepwalk. When they finally let me go home, I was scared to go into my room. My mom followed me in. When we walked in the room, there was no evidence of what happened that night. My sheets had been washed with their blood. No music box sat on my dresser. I raided that room looking for it. I left nothing unturned, and it was nowhere to be found. The next day, I was leaving for school with a bandage on my forehead when I saw a black van parked outside my house. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't even care. As I walked past it, I heard something from inside. That damned Sugar Plum Fairy song. I pounded on the door in the back of the van. They swung open and I was pulled inside. You said if I told you what happened, I... Miss Green never made it to school that morning. She has not been since.
Man, I had a class with Ava. She was really nice, and I'm really struggling to believe something like this happened to her. Everyone was just so upset when she went missing. I helped look for her when they had those search parties that went out into the woods.
I don't know what to believe anymore. This is all crazy. Once we get through these stories, we can decide what to do. We could go to the police or something.
Nobody's going to believe us. These sound like bad Stephen King books. They're just going to think we made it up.
We have to do something, right? These people are missing, and whoever wrote these knows what happened to them. What if they're still alive?
You're not wrong, but... I mean, someone has to do something. We'll figure it out. I should go home. My parents didn't want me out very long.
Will you come back later?
Yeah, probably.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends. And hey, stay close, all right? Something weird is going on around here. Written by Keegan Watson and edited by Jacob Connor.